we sell ourselves short. We let Nicolaitans lead us off into the wherever. There needs to be some preachers to bring us back and get the Nicolaitans out of the church. Now, Romans has a plethora. That's the only word I can really come up with. It has so many issues. It is huge. It's, if I take my time, we're going to be here 3 years. We'll see. It's the book of grace. It's the grace of God. That's the one word. It's the grace of God. If you had to have a second one, it's by faith. Okay? But in dealing with these issues, all of these issues fall under the grace to, and to believe them by faith. In the first seven sentences or verses, watch this. I counted 25 issues in the first seven verses. Or six, I can't remember. Paul. He calls himself Paul. No big deal, right? It means small. He's a slave. You get it? You know he named himself Paul? Because he's a slave. He's called to be an apostle. One that's sent. Like an ambassador. That's two. So you're a slave, but you're an ambassador. See the comparison? What do you make yourself, and what did God make you? Make ourselves slaves, become ambassadors. You're set apart. You're holy. It's for the gospel. We can talk about that all day. God promised the gospel beforehand. Did you know the gospel is in the Old Testament? It's not clear, but it's there. He did it by the prophets. They're holy scriptures. It's concerning God's son, which he mentions twice. He's the descendant of David. You can spend all month on that. He came in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a symbol. I heard the other day that most of the church today believes the Holy Spirit is a symbol, is not a person. That it's just a symbol of maybe God's power, but it's not a separate person. And yet, the Greek puts an article, the Holy Spirit. And I will send you a comforter, Jesus said. That's the third person of the Trinity. Yes, it's very hard to wrap ourselves around it. People try to use clovers and all those kinds of things. And fine, I mean, let's do that. You know, you got an apple, you got the peel, and then the meat, and then the seeds. You know, I understand that, but it's not sufficient. You know why? We can't wrap ourselves around it. He talks about the resurrection. He talked about us receiving grace. He talked about his apostleship and ours. He talks about bringing about the obedience of the world. That's a huge issue we're going to talk about. But it only comes by faith. It's among the Gentiles. We're called to belong to Jesus Christ. We're his. We're loved by God. You can spend all year on that. It's by grace. The peace of God. You now have peace of God. He's our Father. You can spend all month on that. He's the one that came up with the family idea. He's our Father. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. There's Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of Israel. He has become our Messiah, our Savior, and our descendant of David. We believe in him. But is he your Lord? And no, we don't preach such a lordship salvation as it were, but if he's not your Lord, you're probably not saved. I would say you're not. He has to be our Lord. He's called Lord, and we accept him as our Lord, which means we do what he says. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love him, we got a big family issue, right? This letter from God should, when you read it, it should lift your heads. It should lift your hearts. It should lift your countenance. It should at some times set your feet a dancing. And yes, I say that sometimes because I believe in it. in the closet or in your bedroom. I'm not sure I'd do it in public or Sunday morning. It should lift you up. You should realize that Paul and Peter and John has nothing over you. You should realize that God Himself is inviting you to know the depth of His mercy, the depth of His mercy and grace. So when you doubt, if there's ever a doubt in your head, you need to dig. You need to get your shovel and dig into the depth of His mercy, which is new every day, or He's a liar. His mercies are new every day. His grace never stops. And the richness of His plans and the closeness of His family, the fellowship you have in Jesus Christ, Him as your brother and your Lord, your friend. Romans is a doctrinal thesis. It is absolutely deep. That's why people sometimes don't want to preach through it. They don't want to read it. They don't want to spend too much time in it. It is deep. But remember, the deeper you dig, the more that you are filled up with grace. It's a Christian guide to doing. It is a Christian guide to doing. All based on grace. In fact, Paul is going to plead you to do. He will plead. He's going to plead for you to do stuff. And he says to do it in faith and grace. Romans is about the grace of God. It's getting grace, remember, is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We deserve death. We live every day according to His mercy and grace. But grace is getting, He's giving you what you don't deserve. God's riches are you. You're an heir with Jesus Christ, and so all of His kingdom and all of His name. Remember, when back then, when they gave you the name, you were somebody. They gave you the last name. We gave Chance our last name so he would have a family at the time. We gave it to him because he needed to be a part of a family. And so you need to be a part of the family. And so, based on Christ's expense, he gives you the richness of his kingdom. Did you know that Hal Lindsey is a great preacher? Now, he's really good at eschatology. He's really good. He was one of those guys back in the late 60s or 70s who got into the church and said, you know, hey, I think it's time to start talking about end times. And he was really good at it and still is. But did you know that he could preach? And if you go and find him online, you're going to find that he preached through Romans. And he came up with this acrostic: God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good one to remember. So now grace, but here's what Paul goes. Now we have grace. Now what? You have the grace of God. You're called by His name. Now what? He's going to take care of me. He's going to watch over me. I know He's going to protect me. I'll get into heaven someday. No, there's a now what. And that's what the book of Romans is about. We're just going to cover the first two verses today. You say, Raymond, couldn't you go a little faster than that? Not right now, anyway. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul, you remember his name was Saul. In Acts chapter 9, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? The name Saul in the Greek means called for, one who is called for. And he felt, I'm called. I'm called by the church, the Pharisees and the Jews, and more than that, right? God. To what? Rid the earth of Christians. He was under some great teaching. He's very intelligent. People say he's probably the smartest writer in the Gospels. I would think that's probably true, but who knows? God picked him because he was smart, but not because he was a big man. I'll more of that later here. But in Acts chapter 7, you remember he's holding the coats of those who are stoning Stephen. That does not make him a big man. In chapter 8, verse 1, which carries on from chapter 7, it says, Paul agreed completely the words in the stoning of Stephen. In verse 3, just two verses later, he's ravaging the church. The word is destroying or ruining. Some people want to say trying, and that's probably good. The English translators put that in there because you can't destroy the church. But he was out in his mind to destroy the church. And it says there that a great persecution broke out. And he's surrounded. It surrounds Paul, Saul. But on that road, Jesus called him. Now you say, well, I never had that. That didn't happen to me. In fact, the thing with John Wesley, when his heart just changed, and Augustine, when in a minute something happened, it's like a light from heaven and something, you know, happened. Even with Luther. Luther was out. He was scared to death of the thunder one night. And something happened to him. You say, well, that didn't happen to me. The calling is the same. You know how you know? You're sitting here. He didn't have to blind you. Think about it. He had to blind Saul and send him to the ground. He had to send the most frightening thunderstorm to Luther ever. And he had to make Augustine just absolutely be crushed under his sin, his own sin. Now, some of that's happened to us, but here you are. Whatever it took for you to get here, here you are because you're called. And so when he was called, he changed his name. He changed his name to Paul, which means small or tiny. You know what they called me when I was younger? They called me Little Ray because my dad's name's Ray. And so I hadn't heard that for a while. People still remember it. My brother kids me about it sometimes. He calls me other names as well. I went back home and we caught some fish this time. And I went to my aunt, my lovely aunt who got baptized at 65. I put some salmon in her freezer on the way out. You know what she called me? Little Ray. Don't call me that. I didn't say that. That's who I am. Especially to her. Especially to my brother. Even though I'm bigger or older than he is. I'm Little Ray. Who are we to ourselves? Are we bigger than we want to be? You young people? I want to be bigger than I am. And God says, no, you want to be a servant. Did you know that Moses was called the servant of God, of the Lord Most High? Deuteronomy 34:5. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord overflowed to me, Paul says, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Now, whenever I come across that verse, and if I ever use it in a sermon, I always say that's the one point I'm going to argue with Paul on. But I got chastised this last week because I was reading or listening to somebody who came across this verse, and they said, well, if it's in the scriptures, how can I argue with that? So maybe I can say I'm the worst now. I don't know. He says he's the worst. But then he says, I received mercy. He didn't get what he deserved. That in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. He is an example. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You got this guy who's out killing the church, and then he's praising the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the great comparison? He said, I'm little, like John. I must decrease, but he must increase. He can't increase, but you can make him bigger in your own life and mind. Paul was religious. He was devout, yet he didn't know God. He didn't know his son, which is the only way to heaven. He was zealous. He strove to obey what he thought was good and right. You know where that gets you? In trouble. You're okay with the Nicolaitans, but you're in trouble with Jesus Christ. And yet he strived in the face of God. And when I wrote that down, the name Nimrod came to mind. Because Nimrod ran in the presence, in the face of God. That's, you know what his name meant, by the way, rebel. 1 Corinthians 15:9, I'm the least of all the apostles, yet by the grace of God I am what I am. That's just a great place to be, isn't it? People start calling you names. Like you know, Bible thumper. I love that one, actually. You Jesus freak when I was in the 70s, yeah, I love that one. But they start calling you other names. Little Ray, or whatever. And what do you say? I am what I am. Paul says, I don't even judge myself. I let Jesus do that. I judge what I do, but I don't judge myself. I'm headed for eternity because I'm the son of God through Jesus Christ. We've been adopted. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter says, a servant and apostle. See the same thing? Doulos. Now he says servant, and in English again says servant. Okay, that's not a good translation. You at least should put bondservant, if not slave. You're literally right if you put slave. But you're a self-imposed slave. When they had slaves that didn't want to leave in the Old Testament, you know what they did? They would put them up on the doorpost and pin their ear to the doorpost. Bang! Self-imposed. I don't want to leave you. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to note something here. Peter calls himself a slave and a servant and an apostle. Paul calls himself the same. Which one was smarter? Okay. Wrong question. Which one was more educated? Paul. Which one, can I use this word? Which one went to the dummies? Who are the dummies? The Gentiles. They didn't know anything. They're following stupid stones and stuff. Right? They're uneducated. All right? Which one went to the uneducated? The smart one. Well, which one went to the smart people? The fishermen. What did the Pharisees call the apostles and Peter? These men are uneducated. That's what it says in Acts. Well, wait a minute, God. You got this sideways. No, he doesn't. By the power of God. That's what Paul says. It's by the power of God. Moses said, by the power of God. I can't speak very well. Listen, folks, you don't have to rely on how much power you have, because, by the way, you have zero. say what I am. I am Little Ray. I'm born into a very tough family, a very tough situation. But I'm in a fantastic family, spiritual family. I am in the family of God with some great people. Great people. See yourself as Paul. You're small but called. You're small but called. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, James 4:7. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, 1 Peter 5:6. Make yourself a bond servant. Nail your ear to the doorpost. Job 22:21. Submit to God and be at peace with Him. The more that we rail against the Lord, the more problems that are coming upon us. And then, after you do that, here's the final word: understand the call. We're going to talk about this more next week. Understand the call of apostleship. Now, they were apostles. You got that whole new apostolic reformation thing going. Do not listen to those people. Okay, don't. The apostles are dead. All right? But alive. But their word is alive to us. And so, folks, what is your call? You're an ambassador to Christ. Your name is His. Okay, He has a special name for you. It's going to be written on a white stone that when you get into heaven, read Revelation. It's there. Only you and He knows. Because you have been given the power to become children of God. So let's start acting like it. It's like that old university student and the teacher. I think I told you this before, where the kid kept walking up and down. Okay, kid. The kid walking up and down the sidewalk every morning, and the professor would say, "How you doing?" And the kid would always say, "Pretty well under the circumstances." And finally, the professor had it. He said, "What are you doing underneath the circumstances? Let's stop being underneath the circumstances." Now, folks, I know what it is to be underneath the circumstances. So let's just be real here. They get tough. They get mean. But like we talked last week, if you pick up the Bible and start reading, the promise is in James, if you kneel and pray, the promise is in James, if you kneel with somebody else and pray, the promise is in James, if you call an elder or elders of the church and they lay hands on you and pray, you're going to be lifted up. And I'll bring the oil. So let's start acting like we're not under the circumstances, but under the realm of Jesus Christ and His name. And we're going to be picked at and poked at and spears and darts, Ephesians 5, right? Let's put on the shield of faith and walk in the faith that we have by the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we worship You and praise You. We honor You and thank You. You are great and merciful. We couldn't be more pleased, Lord God, to be where we're at. Sometimes we murmur and complain, why do I have this illness? Why did that person say that to me? Why is this happening to me? What's going on in my house? Lord, help us. But Lord, help us to help ourselves. Help us to read Your word, understand Your word, understand Your grace and mercy, understand the family of God, understand this church that we have here for everybody and amongst us. Help us to live like a church underneath the umbrella of Jesus Christ and God the Father. We love You for it, and we praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing just this last verse.